Thanks, everybody. Really glad you all came.
Arr.
That's what you're supposed to say with pirate radio. Are you hearing me? No?
Yeah.
Give me a little more. There you go. And do we have a bit? I don't have much in the way of presentations. This is really going to be a lot of audio, some talking too, so close your eyes, put your ears on, good buddy, as they say.
I'm looking for video.
Yep.
Laptop video. There we go.
Okay, so that's a logo I use. I have a Facebook page, the Flatbush Pirate Decoder. I left my cape at home, unfortunately, with the same thing. So I'm going to start off by giving you a little immersion in what I hear from my listening post in Flatbush, Brooklyn. And then we'll move on and talk about the specifics and the history of pirate radio in New York City.
Start listening to the radio more than listening to TV. Now let's be real. TV, you see. Radio, you draw imagination conclusions. You draw your own picture. You hold it faster than... Well, you just lay back. Okay, the TV will show me. Whereas, if you should really do it from the radio, there's so many things you can imagine. There's so many things you can put together.
Vous écoutez la voix du peuple. 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 Vous écoutez la voix du peuple.
Il n'y a pas de bâtiment, je n'ai jamais eu refus. Refus, pour qui ça? Problème et comme taxe. Jamais n'ai jamais attendu de mon travail.
I listen to some radio because it's a sense to know exactly where you are, and that's why I'm telling you in Flatbush when I'm listening to the radio station. I'm trying to just like get the music from the environment where I live, which is basically giving back to me with the Haitians, the Trinidadian, and the Jamaican one. So I got it.
Dead vibes, rock, nigga! You kidding me?
You stick around. But remember, I'm the boss, and I give all the
orders.
It's Roadblock Fridays.
Yo, this is Cohen the One. You're listening to New York City High Energy Station, Vibes Up Radio, HD.
Vibes Up, how you bad, sir? How you bad, sir? How you rude, sir? New York City want to taste of that. Vibes Up Radio, to just too real and dangerous. Number one, cause you know it dangerous.
This is Montreal and the Viking of Soca, being a Vibes Up Radio HD. Big Soca tunes ready to explode. Get me ready, get me ready. I said we're ready, get me ready. Mad.
New York City's number one choice for Caribbean entertainment, Vibes Up Radio HD. We are the station that moves the streets of New York, one beat at a time. We're your high energy station. Make no mistakes about it. Please don't touch that dial. Vibes Up Radio HD will be right back after these words from our sponsors.
And we're back. I guess that's me, the sponsor. So there's a little immersion in Brooklyn Pirate Radio. Now I hear, I'm trying to advance the slide here. I don't know why I've lost control. There we go. So that's my listening post where I'm on the third floor of a wood frame house in Flatbush. And I've been interested in serious listening to first shortwave radio and pirate radio, but back in the 70s, early 80s, when I was listening for pirates, you could only hear them in where I was living on shortwave, you know, from places around the world or across the country. In Washington, D.C., there were no local pirates. I started traveling up to New York City in the 1980s, and there were actual FM pirates. There are a couple very discreet, just on a couple frequencies late at night, WHOT, WFUN. We'll be hearing a little more about them later. In the mid-90s, the pirates began to proliferate about 95, 96, and they would pop down on top of licensed broadcasters or on adjacents. They'd interfere with each other. And despite enforcement by the FCC, there are just too many stations to control. It would take like a quasi-military effort to take them off the air, and it wouldn't last for long. They'd be right back on, because what happened in 96 is there were access to information on the internet on how to build kits. There was a micro radio movement. Stephen Dunifer was building FM transmitters, and the dollar entry came down very far, so it was much easier to get on the air. And at the same time, there was a Telecommunications Act of 1996, which limited local, there was less diversity, there were more people were owning several stations. So with the cheap technology, people started to figure out how they could get on the air and serve their communities. That's the Sony F1HD, a really great FM receiver, very selective. So I can hear about 36 stations on that. If I go down to the first floor, I probably hear about 20 to 25. I'm really sort of DXing, if you know the term, sort of really listening hard for as many stations as I can hear. But for the average person in Flatbush in their car or in their kitchen, they probably hear 20, 25 stations. For a long time, when the scene started in 96, I was a new father, and I was really intrigued by the growing pirates, but it was too much. And in a few years, there were at least 25, you know, all the way up the dial from 87.9 to 107.9. And it just seemed too crazy and chaotic to even make sense of. There would be different stations on, you know, different frequencies every night, or the same frequency, there would be different stations alternating. A couple years ago, I had a little more time on my hands, and I decided that I was gonna really hone in and try to figure out who was on the air and what who were they broadcasting to. So I started to record intensively and posting on SoundCloud. The first up was a sort of quick and dirty band scan between quarter of midnight and after on New Year's Eve. And there's some pretty cool stuff there. I'll play you a sample.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 2015. You know we out here to have a good time tonight, so it's We made it. We made it. I'm about to take a brief commercial break and get right back to you. Don't change that dial. Don't go nowhere. Leave it. Stick it. Stay right here at 999.
All right, not the file I intended to play, sorry about that. Here's the file. The file that's somehow slowly loading is from a Haitian broadcaster, and they're going, Banane, Banane, which is what I called the file. It should be on any second. All right, well, we'll go back to that if we can. So, let me just test another file to make sure I'm getting playback here. All right, so now on July 4th, I had some files. Well, I'll go to the backup CD.
On the wall.
All right, we fixed it. How embarrassing. Okay. So, Happy New Year.
Tev mo jeudi. Bonne année. Ah yes, Céline Edline, go écoute. William Charles, Franz Charles, bonne fête à Fred et Chérie. Tony Joseph, Carmel Dobrez, la petite Waldia. La petite Waldia, c'est une fan de du groupe Classe. Attention. Bonne année à tous les fans de Caraïbes by Night.
So, Happy New Year, y'all. Now, so that was the first band scan that I put up on SoundCloud, and it attracted some attention. And then, on 4th of July, 2015, I did 2.5-hour band scan. The reason why I'm doing it on holidays is because that's probably when there are the most stations, and they also talk about sort of the holiday and you know, events going on in the community. So here's a little bit of 4th of July. Sound.
Memories on the water, on the water, on the water, on the water.
Daily Bashman, daily Memories on the water.
Yep. New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, you know what time it is, you know what the time it is. First of all, good evening to all Irish Dam listeners out there. Good evening, how you doing? It's a beautiful weekend. It's 4th of July weekend. And you know what it is? It's our Memories on the Water, 4th of July weekend takeover. Yes. as I start off the program with some oldest but goodest, as I usually do, I hope you're having a pleasant evening.
Good afternoon, New York City. Good afternoon, each and everyone on the outside. This is Hype FM 94.5 on the dial. Or in that tuning app, Hype FM HD, New York City. It is July 4th right about now. And the sun definitely is out. All my people who were worried that the barbecue, all the little limes would be interrupted because of the weather. It is beautiful on the outside right about now. So good afternoon to you if you're celebrating July 4th, Independence Day. Happy Independence to America. Happy birthday to anybody celebrating their birthday today. Big you up, big you up, big you up. People, don't forget, today is Saturday, so Aura Lounge is on tonight.
Okay, here we're back. So I put that up in... A lot of people started to call me and say, hey, I want to write an article on this. So I'm working on an audio documentary, and these are excerpts that I'm playing. So I started to back off a little and not post so much public material. I have a lot of things tonight I'm sharing with you that I haven't played publicly. But this is on my SoundCloud site, soundcloud.com/shortwaveology. Shortwaveology is where I do investigations of shortwave radio material, but I have a lot of pirate stuff up there as well. And, gee, what's this about? So I started to collate as much information as I could. I was keeping a log. When pirates are mentioned online, mostly you get big lists of frequencies and not much else. There's a Twitter list called BK Pirate Watch. They trade some info. A lot of people on the list are mostly folks split between noise with interference to licensed stations, particularly WFMU, which is kind of interesting because I think your average WFMU listener is sort of predisposed to liking pirate programming or, you know, that kind of activity. But WFMU is really bothered by pirates and has been for about 20 years. So BK Pirate Watch, an interesting list, is sort of very much saying, you know, who are these people and get them off the frequency. And I was trying to figure it out. So the two gentlemen here, I really can't say too much about this, but Matt Blaze and Ed Cummings came up with a Rode and Schwartz direction-finding radio sort of solve some of our curiosity about where stations were. There's Ed. Now, Ed wanted me to let you know that this is a photo, or Bernie S., also known as Ed Cummings. Ed is violating the ECPA in this picture. What's happening here, interestingly enough, is that we were going through the band and we came across a station that had a subcarrier channel where you, in major cities, you can buy a special radio, and often ethnic and religious broadcasters, at least historically, broadcast on the subcarriers, which they lease from regular stations. And one of the pirates had an SCA, and I happened to have an SCA receiving radio, so we tuned it in, and nothing was there. So it may just have been set on the receiver, but it was kind of interesting. Well, what's also interesting about SCA is New York City is probably one of the few remaining cities where there are a lot of SCA broadcasters. Many of them are Haitian, which is the neighborhood I live in. They serve Flatbush. But they're now competing with probably 9 pirate Haitian stations, which are just, there are probably at least 6 between 87.9 and 91.9. And there we are in Prospect Park out in the field. Now, I don't want to say too much more about that because actually I'm working on some documentation projects, and one of them is the Brooklyn Pirate Radio Sound Map, which I'm working on getting some funding for. I want to make an online archive. It won't be location, so that's what I want to say, and I'm have inroads to talking to pirates. I don't want to have people think that I'm trying to show where they are. So the map will be like coverage area. You click on a node, you'll hear a sample of the station, you'll hear interviews with listeners, with station personnel, So this is sort of a logo I'm using for fundraising at the moment. I'm going to use a really interesting program called ArcGIS, which is a story mapping program. You can do lots of things with it. Anyone here use ArcGIS? If you do, talk to me later. So I really started to intensify my listening, and so working on the story map, and I'm going to concentrate on where I am in my neighborhood, but I've also, there's this great foundation called the Awesome Foundation, where they give away $1,000 a month, so I want them to buy me, which I don't think they will, an ELAD SDR, software-defined radio, so I can go to different points around Brooklyn and capture 6 megahertz of the FM band at a time to hard disk, then tune through and kind of do a better job figuring out what's going on. But I have made a little bit of progress, and here my pride and joy. This is a cello board that I've put together. Too bad the resolution is not so great, but we start here at 87.9, and go up to 107.9. I've been able to find websites for a lot of these stations. I'd say probably about 3/4 of them have websites. I've been able to figure out the names. Gosh darn it, all these technical difficulties. Well, this is kind of appropriate because the pirates are full of technical difficulties themselves. As you'll soon hear, there we go. And anyway, so this is going to form the basis of the map. I'm gathering information and notes, and this is kind of cool for me anyway to see all the information in one place. So I've been able to see, oh, these are regulars, or these people don't come on as often, or you know, someone who's been on for 10 years, suddenly they're off. What happened? Were they busted? Did their transmitter break? It's hard to know sometimes exactly what's happening. So what's nice about Trello is you can filter. So for instance, here are all the stations that are currently on the air. Here are the stations I've heard that are off the air that I've been tracking for a couple years. Here's the ones that are in Flatbush. And I have some additional filters here. These are Orthodox Jewish stations, of which where I live, they're mostly Caribbean pirates, but there are probably about 5 Orthodox Jewish stations in the Midwood and Borough Park neighborhoods. And Orthodox Jews have been at pirate radio in Brooklyn since about 1997, 98 with Radio Moshiach, as they like to say. It's WWMN, We Welcome Moshiach Now, Moshiach is the Messiah, and they say, give us an hour of your attention and we'll bring you the redemption. And try as I might, I could not find that specific file. I'm going to go back to photos for a minute just to show you a couple close-ups of screenshots from some of the websites. There's Radio Moshiach. That's about as much as they had. This one is kind of interesting. They're from Essex County, New Jersey, almost like 28 miles away, and I'm able to get them kind of on and off. They have a college radio station vibe, which is a little bit different from the way the others sound. This is Radio Liberté. We'll hear a lot of samples tonight. All right, so we'll stick on Radio Liberté for a moment. Okay, time for more audio. And where I live, as I said, there are mostly Caribbean stations, some Jewish stations, some Spanish stations. But on any of the stations, even though they're directed very specifically toward a certain audience, Brooklyn's multicultural bones always seem to shine through. And I'm going to play 2 samples back to back, which will sort of demonstrate that. Everybody should praise the Lord.
Yeah. our Lord is great and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is the joy of the whole world. The joy of the whole world is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. Oh yeah. Of the sun unto the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise him. To all my Jewish people up there in Crown Heights, Vus Maxter. Oh God. Everything is good. Oh yeah. Bulk Bishop. Thank God. Good afternoon.
אנו המינו, ההיסטוריה לא מחקה ולעולם גם לא תצליח, שיקח בורא עולם לפני עמו הבטיח, ארץ עבוד, כתוב וכך קיים שגם כבשן האש לא יכל לאברהם רבים שנשרפו ונגדו על האופניים מהווים את ההוכחה לעול מלכות שמיים כי גם אחד של חול שלא יכול על ים איך מצטרף אל חבריו עומד ומול כולם ישראל גם יכולים לעמוד אל מול עמים רק כאשר בניהם מאוחדים
נצח ישראל לעולם לא ישקר בנים ישובו לי גבולם רווח יעמוד ממקום אחר אלוקנו צומא גינם נצח ישראל לעולם לא ישקר בנים ישובו לי גבולם רווח יעמוד ממקום אחר אלוקנו צומא גינם
וגם בחסד הארץ היא שלנו דם שנשבח כמיים בשנים שכבר נרדפנו לא נאבד את האקסטונות נתאמץ ולא ניסוג כי אבינו עוד איתנו ואין לנו מה לדאוג גם בזמנים קשים אותנו לא נטש ארץ ישראל סבת חלב ודבש התקווה להאמין
So what's that? That's Hebrew dancehall reggae. And the first station, I just love that track. It was a longer sample. I tried to cut my samples mostly down to a minute. He was greeting his Spanish listeners, and in that segment, he's greeting his Yiddish-speaking listeners from Crown Heights. So it's just kind of interesting how the different influences of Brooklyn keep shining through. So here's something I did the other day. I got up at 7 in the morning, and every hour or so, again, sorry for the, looks like it's in Hebrew almost. At 7 in the morning, there were 24 stations on the air. This is during the weekday. And evenings and weekends, they're like at full boat at 36. During the week, at 7, there were 24. Then down to 16, by 9, 12, then at 10, down to 11 stations, of which four stations were carrier only. There was no signal there. They were just holding down the frequency, probably trying to keep it from someone else using it. So then we go along during the day. Goes down one at 2:30, and then at 3:30, we're up to 13, 5, 23, 7 o'clock, we're at 28 stations, and then by 8 o'clock, we're at 31 stations, and I just left it there. So you could see some of the flow. Sometimes during the day, they'll go down to as low as 4 or 5, but there's always someone on. There are some big players that seem to be on all the time, and as a carnival comes up in autumn, which is the big celebration in Brooklyn for the Caribbean communities, more stations are on, and there do seem to be more on in the summertime. So let's see. That Orthodox Jewish station is kind of interesting because on that frequency, 91.9, which is the old traditional pirate frequency from years ago when there were only one or two on, I started hearing WCBS-FM, the oldie stations, for weeks, cutting in and out, and it wasn't parallel with the stream. It was like delayed by like 3 minutes, it made no sense. And then one day that dancehall reggae came on and Hebrew versions of Let It Be. And then like 3 weeks later, they're off the air and they've been gone for months. So that kind of gives you some of the flow. Uh, So next up, so the big flavors are soca and reggae, but if you listen long enough, you'll hear some other anomalies that come into play. Here on 91.7, which is a popular frequency for a Haitian station, La Voix du Peuple, where you heard sort of their sign-on ID in the opening segment, this is a station that came on the air one time only, at least as far as I heard them.
Arabeskin en iyisi. Türkiye'nin en damar radyosu. Tutku FM. Bu frekansı çok seveceksiniz. Burası Tutku FM.
Anyone know what language that is? I've been told either Turkish or Uzbeki. Now, they do say Turku FM. I'm not sure. So for the next several days, I set up my recorder because I capture a lot of these recordings by sitting on frequencies and waiting for something to happen and never heard them again. So I have a theory, and I'm gathering evidence that it's true that some of these stations are owned by the programmer and they program one flavor. Others, they own the transmitter and they broker time. They actually see clients to pay for time. So maybe it was like, hey, you know, when you hear what your program might sound like on the air. And where I live, I'm not far from a Turkish and Uzbeki area. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And we're gonna start to skip ahead because time is galloping by. But there's some other interesting flavors. There's a station, Volume FM, Volume 107.1, they play reggae, they're a big player, they're there a lot. And one day I tune in and I heard 2 hours of avant-garde jazz.
Online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
It's Volume Radio, baby. www.teamvolume.com.
You're listening to the hottest internet radio station. Hottest internet
radio station. Yeah, Master Volume Radio. Golly, God, that's it.
So, the next day I was waiting, you know, like put my recorder on, and they never played jazz again. So what happened? Was it like someone's iPod just kind of wandering around? It was really well curated. I mean, I know being it's not avant-garde per se, but they were playing Ornette Coleman and all sorts of things, and then they went into sort of jazz-flavored hip-hop and R&B. So I would love to know the stories behind some of these. There's also, here's a sort of, I talked about stations holding down frequencies before. The Orthodox Jewish stations go off the air and they keep on the Sabbath and they keep their carrier on all weekend. And one weekend I heard the Kol HaShalom, the Voice of Peace, 88.7. They've been on for about 10 years. That was on the whole Sabbath.
The Voice of Peace.
So I kept it on for a couple hours until they fixed the problem. So I honed in on that. And of course, they wouldn't know something's wrong because they're not allowed to be listening to the radio, or if they are, they're not allowed to reveal that they were. And there's another station, J-Root Radio, 95.1, and oh man, the time's going really fast here. They were on all weekend too, and I texted them, and they said, no, we're not, and they actually figured out it was a timer problem. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. So let's go back into history. How did this scene start? In the 80s and early 90s, there were two main frequencies for pirates, 91.5, 91.7, and this is one of the stations you could hear.
Now, it's hot. 91.5.
So that was pretty typical of the pirate of the day, sort of, you know, kids playing radio or young men playing radio, often who maybe they worked in broadcast, compiled some gear. But then along came a station, WBAD, which sort of broke the mold and is sort of a precursor to all the multi-ethnic pirates that are on the air today. It was a hip-hop station. They played underground hip-hop, and they became very popular with artists, and they broke a lot of artists. So here's an excerpt from an interview I did with DJ Syntronics, who used to run the station.
My name is Dave Syntron, and I go under DJ Syntronics. You know, that's my, you know, radio name.
They are outlaws.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Syntronics.
Check this out.
Report from our investigative team. We're about to take you inside the secret world of pirate radio.
Congratulations, homie.
It felt good, you know. I mean, you're doing something that no one else is doing, and you're doing a good job. You're having a lot of listeners. It almost felt like I was dominating the hip-hop industry because, you know, we were playing that stuff that no one, you know, wouldn't play on the commercial stations. And it felt good. It was crazy. That's why they call us the outlaw of the airwaves. I mean, that's why they call me that. And I ran with that ever since.
I told you, man. I told you. Don't come for me. No, but you wouldn't listen. Why, you stupid. Look at you now.
How many people ready to rock the house?
We broadcasted, I believe it was like 5 to midnight or something like that. I'm not sure exactly because it's been a long time. And, you know, on the Sunday night where, you know, you didn't have to worry about the FCC really going and looking for anybody, you know, because right. You had to worry about the FCC. And, you know, there would be times that, you know, we would broadcast and then you would get like a station, you know, who they knew we were broadcasting at that time. And we had a situation one time that they broadcasted over us. And that was like a total disrespect because we took pride in what we did. So we knew who these guys were. And, you know, we were like the FCC. We had a tracker and we tracked them down and I made them shut it off, you know, and they actually did. And we had a situation also, I believe, somewhere in downtown Brooklyn where they did the same thing and we, you know. Well, I mean, these guys, you know, they wouldn't shut it off, and we said, hey, what are you doing? You know, this is our time slot. You can't broadcast over us, and he told us, screw you. So we went up, and we tracked them because we had the tracker, and we cut their wires.
He's an amazing guy. I've tried to reach him for a long time, and he called me on Sunday, and so I like threw the script out the window, and I'm going to make an hour documentary on his story. It's really interesting. I'm going to kind of abandon the script and cram in some sound in the next 10 minutes and take a few questions if I can, but I'll be around to talk to people after. Thanks for bearing with me. Sorry for the little technical difficulties. Here's Ken Friedman of WFMU. Basically, at that time, DJ Syntronics was on the air from 94 to 95, and he told me that it really got out of control, and he could not keep people off the frequency. And he ended up being busted in another story. And starting around that time, Ken Friedman, the station manager of beloved WFMU, the Plucky Freeform station, started to hear about pirates. So here's a...
In one case, I filed a complaint about a pirate in outside of Newark, New Jersey, that was broadcasting at the same frequency as our 90.1 FM upstate New York station. And it was operating not only as a pirate radio station, but also as a not only as a pirate using the non-commercial band, but they were operating commercially. And they were selling ads, and they had sponsors, and it was a very long-running operation. It was a business. It was a pirate radio station on the non-commercial band that was running as a commercial business with impunity for years. And I had my FCC lawyer file a complaint to make sure I did it right, because I felt like I had all the information on them. They were being so blatant, or they were being so brazen about what they were doing in terms of giving out mailing addresses and phone numbers and website addresses and email addresses. And we filed a complaint, and then we found out that the FCC already knew about them, that the FCC had already received numerous complaints about the same station, and they had yet to take any action. And that station is still on the air.
The story I'm working on, here we go. So this is the big difference. Before 96, it was like hobbyists and enthusiasts who wanted to get their message on these two frequencies. They cooperated to a degree. They shared the frequency. 96, it starts to get out of control. Enforcement, FCC enforcement, really can't handle it. There's deregulation. They have very little budget. And that's really continued to this day. And just to hear what Ken was talking about, here's sort of a typical ad on some of these stations.
Are you struggling with weight loss? We have the solution, the Gut Buster Package.
It's like I couldn't come up my step without like holding on and, you know, breathing short.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of my clothes, I couldn't wear them for a good time.
So you was overweight, you had no energy.
I was overweight.
Gut Busters.
No. I gave my son some.
Mm-hmm.
He was losing his belly too.
Mm-mm.
And I mean, this gentleman, if you ever see his belly, he has no more tummy. I have none.
Oh, yeah, and your tummy's gone too?
Huh?
So your tummy's gone too?
My God, no,
go, mommy. Go, mommy. The Gut Busters. To get the Gut Buster Package, 917-533-2576. 917-533-2576. 917-533-2576. 917-533-2576. Gut Busters. 917-533-2576. 917-533-2576.
Now, did you get the number, by the way? Now, when I was cutting sound yesterday, there was actually, I had missed a part where someone came and said, you can get it at 911 at Yanni's Market, and they said, call 917. They did it three more times. So I want to play you something. I went out into the community because I wanted to find out, aside from an insufferable radio geek like myself who wants to find out how many stations there are, I wanted to find out who in the community is really listening to these stations. The story I'm working on is about stations that people set up on top of apartment buildings.
They do.
They're not people. Do you know about
like the college ones does. I don't. And I want to tell you one thing. I don't give a fuck. Have a good day.
Yep. But I persevered. And here's some comments about how they regard the stations in the community.
Well, there's a Christ Christian Temple. They have a radio station. But right now, it's not up. The antenna needs fixing. But it used to be. Because I used to speak on that station.
Oh. When you were on the station, were you aware that it was not a legal station?
No, I don't know. I don't know. He asked me to come speak on the station. I don't know, legal or illegal. But, you know, I want the word to go too. So I preach the word. So I don't know if he was illegal. I don't know.
But I think that when you have a DJ or somebody who's just like, you know, talking to you and people are calling, I don't think that they're illegal one. Because when people are just like taking the phone and calling the station and they have with the interaction with the public, I don't think that this is illegal, because for that, for the to have a number, I think that you have to just register yourself. But I never ask myself the question.
I think it's an alternative from the regular stuff that you get every day, even though it's illegal. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's still there, so it's not that illegal though.
I think he kind of hit it on the head. They're still there, so are they really illegal? Boy, so much more to play, but I'm just going to pick a few things. Not only do they cause interference to licensed stations, licensed stations have a real hard time dealing with them. They also can interfere with each other. Here's a station, Ecuadorian Andean flavored station from West Orange, New Jersey. That's the local Flatbush Caribbean station signing on. So they just jumped right on top of the Main Street station. That happens a lot. I'm going to play my last bit of sound from John Anderson, DIYmedia.net. He watches the pirates. He has a really interesting enforcement database. He's like, how do you handle this problem, especially with some of the interference they cause and the, you know, skipping CDs? I won't play that at the moment, but you can check on my SoundCloud site. I have a lot of interesting anomalies. So he posits a harm reduction model, like using needles or contraception. This is his analog. And when he's done, I'll take questions.
I think we should look at the same type of perspective when it comes to pirate radio. There are ways by which unlicensed stations can clean up their own acts. They can share the spectrum more effectively and reduce the potential for interference among their licensed neighbors. There are ways by which they could even share frequencies and time. So a station might be on the air for 8 hours a day, and then they go off the air and another station goes on the air for 8 hours a day and repeat, as a way of improving their ability to communicate to their audiences or their communities. And mitigating some of those negative problems. But just like needle exchanges and early attempts at birth control among teenagers, those things were criminalized in and of themselves because you were considered to be aiding and abetting a problem. So I almost think that maybe
I'll talk about technical difficulties. Anyway, he's saying that, you know, there's not going to be any more low-power FM frequencies. So what are you going to do? You're going to try, maybe send out an engineering team, clean up the station, maybe talk about how to share. I'm going to put up a slide with some contact, but I'd love to take some questions. Thanks for hanging in and listening with me. What power are they running, and what kind of antennas do they use? Ed, can you speak to what kind of antennas they're using? I had some photos, but...
the gentleman asked what types of power are they, some of these stations running, and what type of antennas are they using? I've done some direction finding of some of these stations, and many of them are using a under $100 antenna called a Comet 95SL. We talked about it in the last edition of Optimum, where David was our guest. And some of the power levels are what, 10, 20, 30 watts, sometimes more?
Sometimes more. I've heard 500.
Wow.
And I've heard them, you know, that station from West Orange, New Jersey is about 16 miles away. But another thing that Angel Lopez, the guy who said there was still kind of legal, he's like, sometimes he has to give up on them because he's in his car and it's very spotty reception.
David mentioned he has some pictures, but he first got permission from this New York, he didn't want to say this, but I'll say it. The New York State Broadcasters Association commissioned a study, actually a series of studies, about these pirate stations, with which they were going to provide to Congress. They provide to Congress to try to
you know, compel the FCC or maybe give the FCC more funding so they can enforce these things. And then they reneged on their permission to allow David to show these pictures because he found out it was going to be at a hacker conference and then he was worried about his shit getting hacked. So if anybody wants to email me, BernieS@2600.com, BernieS@2600.com, I will send you a copy of the New York State Broadcasters Association report on these stations. And it's fascinating with pictures, locations, antennas, I mean, power levels. It's fascinating, a sort of total expose.
It's a little slanted to the broadcaster's point of view.
Good info.
Also, go to DIYmedia.net, and his latest blog post is all about that. You said frequency hopping. Pardon me? What do you mean exactly? You know, I don't think they care that much. I don't think they go to any extraordinary security measures. You can see these antennas when you're walking down the street. When they do get busted, I think they move the transmitter. you know, they buy another one, or they may move from time to time. I don't think they have two different ones. They're not very sophisticated operators, a lot of them. Both. I've heard both. Yes? Well, in New York, I think it's good to be discreet, which the New York City scene is not. But a lot of them go in a regional frequency. Don't go right next to WMIC. Don't go right next to the big players. And I'm not a lawyer or anything, so don't use this in court. But be on a regional. A lot of them are on regional channels. So in Brooklyn, I might hear really strong stations from Long Island, from the Jersey Shore, from Connecticut, and a number of stations go on those frequencies. So mid-afternoon, you know, 106.3, which is a country music station from the Jersey Shore, will suddenly turn into a Caribbean Flatbush station. And so I don't think that their listeners are really hearing the bite. So, you know, try to be cagey.
Amazon sells very nice low-power
transmitters.
They sound nice and they work well.
Look on eBay. I have some slides, but I just kind of had to jump over a few things. Yes?
Given that the pirates seem to cater to particular communities,
right,
to what extent are they interacting with each other or supporting each other?
Not a lot. I think like DJ Syntronics was talking about, I think there's some rivalry, but I have heard recently through John Anderson, who we're both trying to get, I'd have some inroads to some of the pirates, but they've not wanted to talk on the record as yet. That preacher that I found on the street, he was on a pirate station, and he didn't even know it was a pirate station. But I've heard that they do have some loose cooperation. Yeah. Yes? The F1HD, Sony, it's an HD receiver as well. Really nice, selective, sensitive radio. Talk to me and I'll tell you how to get a cheaper one. Yes, in the back.
Some of the FCC commissioners have recently said on the record they're no longer going to go after pirates unless there's a public safety issue. So I'm going to ask you mystically, like in a joking way, why are we paying taxes? Have you spoken to the FCC? Why aren't they taking
I've not spoken to them yet, but I did speak to that gentleman that was referred to, David Donovan, the head of the New York State Broadcasters, and he used to work for the FCC. Basically, they don't have the money, and they've been trying to criminalize it more in New York and New Jersey to give it a little bite. The broadcasters wrote Wheeler, the Congress people wrote on the behalf of the broadcasters, the Congress people in New Jersey and New York, and Wheeler wrote back and was like, well, you know, it's a problem, we know about it, and there's not much we can do. So they're not spending a lot of money on it. They did propose some measures to try and, like, if you're hosting one, you know, you're letting people have space, you could be liable. They're trying to criminalize it, but there's no teeth at the moment, you know. So I just think, you know, it's been this way for 20 years. There's safety in numbers. They're not all going to go down. So, yes?
What kind of antenna are you using for receiving?
I'm using the trusty Godar. It's G-O-D-A-R. They have some interesting shortwave and FM antennas. Look on eBay. I could have it out swiveling around, but I just put it on a chair. It's like it's an FM HDTV antenna, and it's very directional, and it's good, because so, sometimes some of these frequencies are three channels. Yes?
I come from the other side of the Atlantic, and we have a slightly different situation regarding pirate broadcasting. I just wonder, what is the situation of medium wave or AM and short wave pirate radio stations here in the area and in the United States?
In the New York area, there's just one pirate. And actually, I couldn't find them yesterday. It was Radio Moshiach. Give us an hour of your attention, and we'll bring you the redemption. They're on 1640. They used to be on six. They used to announce as, we're on 1620 to 1640. And they've been on a bunch of FM. That's the main one. I know in Boston there are some more medium wave pirates. And shortwave, I'm not any that I'm aware of in the immediate area, but across the United States, if you tune into the 61, well, I'll tell you the frequencies. 6925. Thank you. 6925. Thank you so much. Got to wrap up.